The home was a small yellow cottage on an empty street. There was something dispirited about it, but Naomi was used to that. The young mother who answered the door was petite and looked much older than her age. Her face seemed strained and tired. "The child finder," she said. They sat on a couch in an empty living room. Naomi noticed a stack of children's books on the table next to a rocking chair. She could guarantee the child's room would be exactly as before.
"I'm sorry we didn't hear of you sooner," the father said, rubbing his hands together from his position in an armchair near the window. "We've tried everything, all this time,
even a psychic," the young mother added with a pained smile.
"They say you are the best at finding missing children," the man added. "I didn't even know there were investigators who did that."
"Call me Naomi," she said. The parents took her in, sturdy build, tanned hands that looked like they knew work, long brown hair, a disarming smile. She was younger than they had expected, not out of her late 20s.
"How do you know how to find them?" the mother asked.
She gave that luminous smile.
"Because I know freedom."
The father blinked. He had read of her history.
"I'd like to see her room," Naomi said after a bit, putting her coffee down.
The mother led her through the house while the father stayed in the living room. The kitchen looked sterile. An old-fashioned cookie jar sat collecting dust on its rim. The fat belly said, "Grandma's cookies." Naomi wondered the last time the grandma had visited.
"My husband thinks I should go back to work," the mother said.
"Work is good," Naomi said gently.
"I can't,"
the mother said, and Naomi understood. You can't leave your house if at any moment your child might come home. The door opened to a room of perfect sadness. There was a twin bed covered with a Disney quilt, a series of pictures on the wall, ducks flying. "Madison's room," read the applique letters above the bed. There was a small bookshelf and a larger desk covered with a mess of pens and markers. Above the desk was a reading chart from her kindergarten teacher. "Super reader," it said. There was a gold star for every book Madison had read that fall before she went missing. The smell was of dust and staleness, the smell of a room that had not been occupied for years. Naomi stepped next to the desk. Madison had been drawing. Naomi could imagine her getting up from the drawing, bolting out to the car while her dad called impatiently. It was a picture of a Christmas tree covered with heavy red globes. A group stood next to it, a mom and a dad with a little girl and a dog. "My family," the caption announced. It was the typical little kid drawing, with large heads and stick figures. Naomi had seen dozens of these in similar bedrooms. Each time, it felt like a stab wound to her heart. She picked a wide, ruled writing journal off the desk, thumbing through the clumsy but exuberant entries decorated with crayon illustrations.
"She was a good writer for her age," Naomi remarked. Most 5-year-olds could barely scribble.
"She's bright," the mother responded. Naomi went to the open closet. Inside was an array of colorful sweaters and well-washed cotton dresses. Madison liked bright colors, she could see. Naomi fingered the cuff of one of the sweaters and then another. She frowned.
"These are all frayed," she noted.
"She would pick at them, all of them, unravel the threads," the mom said. "I was always trying to get her to stop."
"Why?"
The mother stopped.
I don't know anymore. I would do anything.
You know she is most likely dead, Naomi said softly. She had found it was better just to say it, especially when so much time had passed. The mom froze.
I don't believe she is.
The two women faced each other. They were close to the same age, but Naomi had the bloom of health on her cheeks, while the mom looked drawn with fear.